back. WNST, Towson Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. We are in Los Angeles, California. All of our Super Bowl 56 coverage brought to you by our friends at the Maryland Lottery, hence the mask, and our friends at Wise Markets having wise conversations. Also want to give a shout-out to my dear friend Dennis Colazzos, who will be heard on Thursday from 3 until 5. I'll be on Radio Row and back with him on Sunday morning before Super Bowl 56. Darren Ravel has covered the business of sports and and collectibles. I mean, like, yeah. I dig your little post. I collected lots of stuff through my life, and over the last 2 years, I've sold a bunch of it off just because, like, I was afraid of just going bad or getting screwed up. And
it's been good the past 2 years, so why not?
Yeah,
Take money off the table. Don't always buy the dip, kids.
Well, I mean, look, man, I didn't get any. I got this stuff to put it on the walls and honor it and worship it and touch it and feel it. And I'm 53 now, and I've honored and worshipped and touched my Paul McCartney autographed Rolling Stone when I met him. Or, you know, like, I was a music
critic. Did you sell that?
Yeah, I sold a whole bunch of stuff. I sold my David Bowie stuff. I sold my Eddie Van Halen. Just stuff that was piled up.
All right, buy back Beatles now. You got to buy back the Beatles stuff.
You care about making money on it. I just was, like, trying to just liquidate.
The Beatles are still going up. I mean, I just bought a ticket to their final Ed Sullivan performance.
How much?
It is basically like a nub, like the smallest ticket you can buy. It was ripped to shreds.
Right, yeah, a little.
Small nub, $2,800.
Okay, so for these items, when you...
Sealed Beatles records for the best of the best, you know, you're at, like, 5,500, 7,000.
At the end of the day, what makes this different than the NFT thing?
It's a good question. NFTs, I think, are false scarcity. I like real scarcity. Like, an NFT is like, oh, we only made 100. Well, like, I have totally juiced up my ticket collection. You wanna tell me how many, you know, Doug Flutie Hail Mary tickets there are? There are four that have been graded. There might be one in a drawer, but there's only four that are left that have been graded, right? So, like, I like real scarcity like that.
What's a graded ticket stub? It's taken on the baseball card thing where the edges and the back. I have tons of ticket stubs that are really cool.
You should send them in. So, like, you know, so a graded ticket stub is just like a card, right? They get it slapped. PSA slabs it for you, puts up top what the event is. So over the years, I've just said, oh my God, once PSA, which grades cards, say we're grading tickets, they're now turning that into a card. For tickets, when you have your tickets, oh, it's in a shoebox, it's in a drawer, it's on a bulletin board. Now, all of a sudden, you could put it in a nice case, and it will say the name on it. So, like, you know, I have a ticket, a full ticket from when Marilyn sang happy birthday to JFK at MSG.
Okay.
You know? That's about a $60,000 ticket.
There's no other one.
No,
right?
there's one other full and five. So just like tickets, you can get the population reports. How many PSA graded?
Okay, so I have this item, and I've been telling people about it, and I've shown it. It's the media.
Let me be Antique Roadshow for you.
Okay, great. Oh, great. Darren Ravel is here.
I have confidence that I can do this.
All right, let's have some fun with this. And I can show it to you because I have pictures of it. And I actually showed it to a friend of mine a couple weeks ago, which I haven't done a whole lot of. John Stedman attended Super Bowl I. That game was called the AFL NFL Championship
Correct.
Game, the ticket, the program. Yeah. He went to the game here at the Coliseum, 4 miles away. And up in the press box, they had a press kit that has an NFL logo, a Disneyland logo, because Disneyland was involved in the transportation and, like, all of that.
And by the way, the Chiefs wore Mickey Mouse hats in the locker room.
Because
they were called a Mickey Mouse
organization because it was the AFL.
Correct.
Right. And it was Len Dawson smoking the heater,
yes,
the whole deal.
Yeah.
So I have a very pristine, I mean, it's still white, it's not yellow, media kit that was put together with a little plastic binding on the outside. It has all of the minutes of halftime, the Grambling Band, like all the things that happened. And I have the flip card and every handwritten note. I have the printed post-game stats that are on the purple paper used to smell when you were in.
The mimeograph paper.
Yeah, the purple stuff that you had in first grade.
Yeah.
And it has the flip card in it. And it has all of Stedman's handwritten notes of Vince said at halftime. You know what I mean? Like, stuff like that.
Jesus.
So, I don't know that there's another one. That my question has been, is there another one of these?
Probably not.
I've never Googled it and found it.
documents are tough, right? Their documents are, you, how do you display documents? There's generally a discount on documents unless it's a constitutional document.
People like something that goes under glass that can be seen, that is presentable.
And that you have one look. If you have multiple pages, it gets... So there's a devaluing on a jersey, for example, because it's so big. Or a document, if there's multiple pages, how is it going to be displayed? I would say that's probably worth around $7,500.
Okay.
It is a unique piece that...
It's the first thing I think the NFL has ever produced that says the words Super Bowl.
Right.
That's where I think the value lies in this, that it, from an archival standpoint...
I would pair it with someone to get the most value. I'd pair it with someone who's selling a Super Bowl ticket
stub. Yeah. Right, yeah,
I mean those Super Bowl tickets for the best of the best for Super Bowl I, right? What became Super Bowl I retroactively is, you know, 50,000-60,000.
But none of that stuff says Super Bowl on it.
It does not. It says AFL.
This is the
NFL
first thing that I'm convinced Roselle put it on there to try to... He was always trying to make Super Bowl.
So part of that is the story. Listen, I make my living on the memorabilia side, killing people who describe things wrong in auctions. They either describe it wrong. That's the arbitrage. They put an item that's too good, too late, so people are flipping to the bottom of it. Like, where did you screw up? And it's fair game, and I swoop in, and I'm like, oh my God, that's so undervalued. But I'm also willing to put one of one pieces of memorabilia, I'm willing to say a price. So Hugh Hefner's Viagra pill bottle, which I own, you know, I paid $8,000 for it, and the estimate was $2,000. But I said to myself, that is the ultimate pill bottle of all time. It is a incredible conversation piece, and I have no doubt that it's worth $8,000.
When will you seek to sell it? At what point do you sell? Because you collect so much shit, dude. I mean, you have a lot of stuff, and I see.
So
it,
I'll give
it's
you a
cool.
recent sale. I'll give you a recent
Go
sale.
Ahead. Are you a hoarder?
No. No.
You do get rid of stuff.
I do get rid of stuff.
Okay.
I do. I don't just hold. None of it is to hold for my kids.
Okay.
So Tiger Woods, his first PGA Tour event, not the Milwaukee Open when he turned pro, but the 1992 Nissan Open. I have a pass from that. You get 4-day pass. I bought it for $1,900 on eBay in September, and I sold it for $65,000 a month ago. If you're going to 30X something, you know, you gotta take it off the table. You know, I'm not, you know, all these people are the Bitcoin and the dips and buy the dips and hold. And no, it's horrible advice. So, you know, but I have been attached to things before. And
well, that was the issue for me. I mean, my stuff, I loved it because it was me. It was my backstage passes. It was a thing. But believe it or not, the thing that I sold that like surprised the hell out of me, and I haven't told the story in the air, but I will. The Beastie Boys, on their first, on the License to Ill tour with Run DMC, I met them. I was a music critic, and they came up the steps.
What
to
year
meet
was that?
84? 89, okay. Somewhere in there. Yeah. So on the back of the ticket stub, all three of them signed it. Apparently the guy that died, is it Mike D?
Yeah,
maybe?
Yeah, Mike D.
He didn't sign stuff. Like, apparently, like, he was Tibetan monk kind of like... All,
and it sold for $6,000. How much?
$2,100.
Yeah.
And it was just a little stubby
stuff. It would be $6,000 today. Yeah. Just because tickets in general. It was on a ticket? Or
it was
backstage?
On the back of a ticket.
Yeah, yeah. It would sell for triple that today. Yeah.
Why is the ticket thing hot all of a sudden?
It's just...
Scarcity?
It's because it is tied to a moment. A card isn't tied to a moment. Like, what is actually pulling at your heartstrings? Like, you know, and you say, oh, I remember where I was. So, like, all of a sudden, like, people had, you know, what is it, game 4 of the 94 finals? And they're like, oh, my God, that's the O.J. chase.
So if you get a ticket stub from the 1993, I have all of these, by the way, because I've attended 28 Super Bowls.
Right.
The Joe Carter home run game in Toronto. Let's just
yeah,
say.
Yeah, I have that. I bought that.
So it's a ticket.
$500.
It's a $500 stub,
yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's strong.
You know, I bought the Christian Laettner turnaround jumper signed by Laettner, the shot. And that back 3 years ago, I bought it for $600. Now I wouldn't sell it for $20,000. Wouldn't.
Well, there's lore to that. It's the lore.
So that's why I before I started talking about it, I picked, like, because I don't want to create my own competition, I picked like 50 events that I had to nail, like crazy ones, like Jesse Owens, you know, 4 gold medals in the 36 Olympics. You know, I got to get that ticket.
What's
a
Lake Placid ticket worth? A lot, right? There weren't many of them.
There actually are way too many of them. Because
everybody kept it.
Because everyone kept it.
Yeah,
now here's the thing. Don Larson, perfect game. Every grandfather said, "When I die, this is the thing that you keep." Right, right. So there's 280 of them.
Right.
The scenarios where, and that's also the fun of it, right? 2003 NLCS, the Steve Bartman game. Who in their right mind in Chicago is going to keep that curse of a ticket in their house, right?
Right?
Or Jordan over Elo, Richfield Coliseum, Cleveland. 99% of people, maybe more than 99%, were Cavs fans. They're not keeping that ticket. So, like, there are all these scenarios of, like, why someone wouldn't have kept a ticket, you know, or something like the Piazza home run after 9/11. Like, years and years later, we realize, like, how big of a moment that was.
What about concert tickets, man?
Starting.
I mean, you mentioned the Beatles
starting
thing.
Live.
But if you have a Who ticket from the Capitol Center on that cool gray thing,
it's okay.
From 1976.
They don't have substantive moments. Like I was looking for the Milli Vanilli Lake Compounds ticket when their tape skipped. I'd like that one, you know? Like, but you know, I collect ones
from... The Who rubber front...
Yes. When the mob thing, right? You know, but I think Wembley Stadium tickets are beautiful because they show pictures of the people in the time. So I like 85 Madonna, Wembley, those.
Genesis, 87.
Yeah, Genesis. Yeah. And you got to have the England Live Aid, not the Philadelphia Live Aid.
I know all about it because I have the Philadelphia Live Aid because I went.
Awesome.
And my friend went to England. The tickets were similar.
Yeah.
But the British always did things bigger.
Freddie Mercury.
It was a billet.
Freddie Mercury, man. That, you know. And so I have two of the British versions. I don't have one of the American.
Darren Revelle is here, the man, the myth, the legend. They love him, they hate him, they respect him.
There we go. I like that. Definitely love and hate. Yep. I don't know if they respect me. They love me, hate me, they talk about me. Okay.
Hey, I'm in that club.
Yeah, you are.
31 years of doing this, that's great, you know. I like most of the people like me. What are you doing? Action Network, you came on talking about gambling a couple of years ago.
Yes.
And no one here ever would admit there was gambling in the National Football League.
They protested it.
This to come in here and see FanDuel with the biggest set I've ever seen, with a guy and a wife beater yelling for $100 million on what games to bet on. These guys over here, bad. It's like Fred Flintstone.
Yeah.
I get it, but I've never been a gambler. I play blackjack, whatever. But it's just not.
I mean, we're at 19 states, mobile now.
Well, Maryland got on 5 weeks ago, and Darren, I've told the story a couple of people. I went down and, you know, I got my Maryland lottery mask half around my face, and John Martin comes on every week. We talk about it. Went down to the casino, the good games, the divisional weekend, the 2-2 weekend, and I went down there early and just saw lines and lines and lines, and some lines for machines, some lines for people, and I thought, where were these people getting their action last year on the divisional round? You know what I mean?
Right, right.
Like, and I said there's such a hunger for it, whether you're ethically, you know, agnostic about the tax purposes.
The only thing I would say is, you know, as live betting gets more prevalent, just, you know your bankroll. It can get out of hand quick. And, you know, so you just have to. But what I do for my part is I tell you when I have that I went 0-6 in the divisional round and lost $2,500. You know, I say when I have it, I'm not embarrassed. I think the most important thing is to talk about when you do lose. And in that way.
Because everybody likes to talk about when you win.
Right. And in that way, I think people understand it.
Darren Revelle, Action Network, tell me what you're doing. You pimping anything?
It's basically the Bloomberg of sports betting. If you want to go with your gut, then don't come to us. But if you want 25 years of data backing up, you know, your non-emotional decision, you can subscribe to us.
Mental health still on that?
Yep.
I'm glad you're doing okay, man.
Still working on mental health and working with a program called Same Here. So
I like your hat. Super Burl.
tomorrow I have Stanley's Cup, so we'll do...
The Cincinnati Bengals are in the Super Bowl.
I know, it's crazy.
It is crazy. Darren Revelle, follow him out on Twitter. Drop the mic, man. Do it big league. And there you go. Oh. Boom, there you go. Appreciate you. Darren Revelle joining us here from the Action Network. I am Nestor. We are live on Radio Row. I'm mask up sometimes for the most part. Stand away from people. Not touching. I just touched him. I haven't touched anybody all week. Why did I shake your hand? I haven't shaken anybody's hand. My God. Give me some. They got Purell. I got it out on the table. My hands haven't been anywhere. You should be worried about your own hands. There you go. You had COVID a month ago. Don't give it to me. There we go. Yeah, Ravel's out of here. I am Nestor. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore, and Purell'd up. Keeping it safe here on Baltimore Positive.